You're listening to a podcast from 702.
A lot is happening in Auckland Park at the SABC, and this afternoon we'll be unpacking some of the things, of course, that might affect all of us. This is the sort of thing that we should all pay close attention to, especially while it's in the process, and you'll understand in a short while. Over the weekend, you may have read the story, even last week, you may have read stories about the contributions or the submissions that have been made by the SABC, and this is their contribution to, they submitted this document, and it includes a number of proposals. They've submitted it to the Department of Communications, Telecommunications and Postal Services, and this is part of the public consultation process on a white paper on audio and audiovisual content policy framework. So one of the things that they have proposed, we'll unpack some of them, the others in a moment, is that the public broadcaster wants TV licenses scrapped, and they want the introduction of a household levy of 265 rand per annum. They want that levy to be introduced. So the levy, they also suggest, should be collected by MultiChoice, that MultiChoice should collect this from their 8 million subscriber base, even if you don't have a TV. That the idea of what a TV license is, or a license to view, so to speak, needs to be addressed. And so this is the process that is currently underway. As I was saying, you need to be aware of this because it involves all South Africans. It impacts whether or not a public broadcaster has a viable future or not, and how we consume information. And so many submissions are being made, including from non-governmental organizations, industry bodies, all sorts of operators, in fact, that are directly affected, the local production sectors and others. They're all making inputs and submissions at the moment. So the white paper is looking to radically overhaul various aspects of the media, including things like ownership. And there's no doubt that the media market has been disrupted by technological developments. Print media, for instance, is no longer the largest. The print media companies are no longer the largest media companies. And there's also this proliferation of on-demand content services. Vodacom, in fact, announced that they're offering people, I think, 6 months free of Amazon Prime. This is to tie in with the release of Coming to America. So it further expands what South Africans, what is accessible to South Africans. So we've invited the director at Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird, just to talk through some of these issues, including the SABC's proposals. Thank you so much for joining us, William.
Hi, good afternoon, Azania. Thanks for having me on the program.
I know that the Press Council and SANEF, they made joint submissions in response to the draft white paper that I was referring to earlier on. And their comments also raise concerns about future-proofing the press in South Africa, as they raise issues about licensing and what is missing from that initial draft from the department. But if we were to focus on the SABC for the moment, do you think that the SABC's household levy is reasonable, is a reasonable request?
So yes, and just to be clear, we also made submissions in which some of the things we supported is this idea that in order to make our media sector more sustainable, you do need some way of collecting that kind of a fund. We called it something slightly different. I think we referred to it as a public information levy. And I see that the SABC is referred to slightly differently. But I think in principle, the idea is the same. And it goes from this point of departure, which is that if you look at democracies around the world where they have high levels of trust in their media, one of the things that is common to all of them is that they have trust in a public broadcaster. Now, in South Africa, where our government is pulled in so many directions, they've got very little money, in fact, no money for most things, we know that expecting them to fund the public broadcast at this point in time isn't going to happen. But you do need a way that you can sustain a public broadcaster, and that one of the mechanisms for that is some kind of a fee that has been used, until this time it's known as a television license fee. So if you say, how do we make sure that you still have a public broadcaster in an environment where we're talking about media sustainability more broadly, one of the mechanisms is to say we're going to use a levy that everyone will pay or each household will pay. And let's be clear, it's per household. It's not every single person in that household. So it, seeing that as a mechanism for collection means that SABC should actually be able to get a lot more for their buck, and asking DSTV to collect that on their behalf. They've already got incredibly efficient systems to collect their subscription fees. It seems like a reasonable and indeed legitimate means of making sure that that fee is actually collected.
And if we just to digress a little bit and maybe get back to the basics around why it's important to have an independent and trusted public broadcaster, let's look at that a little bit more, because privately owned media, the mix or the funding that it relies on, a lot of it is advertising, and there is this competition for advertising revenue. And so this is, I guess, what, to give space for the public broadcaster to provide a service without some of these commercial burdens and imperatives.
Exactly. And to date, they've operated in this crazy kind of mixed model where they expected to adhere to a massive public service mandate, and yet they have to effectively operate as a commercial entity. And obviously that creates big problems. And we've seen the outcome of that, you know. So if you look at sustainability for media, you know, that's why it's a bigger question, as well as being just about the SABC. You know, the whole reliance on advertising and the way that we've known it is changing quite significantly. You know, it's not just at the moment we're seeing the demise of print media, but it puts into stark relief the existence of those other media houses who have relied on those traditional advertising models. You know, they're just not viable any longer. And the more we digitize, as is inevitable and as is a good thing, broadly speaking, you know, the more that the big platforms are going to take that advertising revenue. That's what's happened the world over. You know, Facebook and Google, they take over 85% of all that online advertising revenue. Now, that doesn't leave enough for these media to sustain themselves. So you say, firstly, you need information that is accurate and reliable and trustworthy, that's coming from a public entity, which isn't to say you don't need the other. Of course you do. In a democracy, you need diverse content. And in fact, what you find is where you have a strong public, a credible public broadcaster, you then also tend to have strong, credible, independent or other commercially sustaining media as well. And so it's really a good thing for the entire sector to have a properly functioning public broadcaster.
Just to notify our listeners, we did put in a request with MultiChoice to request that, you know, they come along and give us their thoughts. But based on the Sunday Times article, they were against the idea of them collecting on behalf of the SABC, MultiChoice. That is, they said this proposal has lots of problems and is completely inappropriate and unfeasible and should not be given any serious consideration. That was what the spokesperson had said, but they have not taken up the offer to come and be a part of this discussion. William, what does that little chuckle suggest?
Well, look, I mean, obviously they're going to respond in that way. You know, the reality is that they've been the behemoth in South Africa for, you know, the last kind of decades. You know, they've done very well out of having SABC. You know, it's facilitated their significant growth, and it's a good thing that they have been able to grow into 8 million households. You know, we need to look at saying, well, how do we leverage that in order to benefit the public more broadly? Because they've been benefiting from that by having access to, you know, the various facilities that they've had access to. So this is, I think it's a reasonable request, and certainly one if you're saying, well, how do we, you know, leverage the infrastructure that is there to sustain the public broadcast. And again, for ordinary people, it's a very minimal kind of increase from what they're already covering from their monthly subscription fees for DSTV.
I wonder what our listeners think. We are taking your thoughts, of course, on this proposal. 011-883-0702. You can also drop us a voice note on 072-702-1702. And then the must-carry regulations, which forces the SABC to provide their channels for free You know, they're saying that this must also come to an end. We've been slow to address issues like this, especially even while the SABC was at it, was declining. William?
Sorry, yes, I'm here.
Yes, I'm saying the slow pace of addressing even aspects like this must carry regulation.
Yeah, I mean, that also is a key one, actually, because the argument there is simply this, is that they, you know, multi-choice have been making a lot of money from having the SABC on their platform, and that because of the significant changes that we've seen and the changes that are coming, the argument is to say, well, they should have to pay now to carry those rather than just be forced to carry them as part of the former policy environment. You know, there was a fear beforehand that, in fact, people wouldn't watch the public service channels any longer, and that they were kind of something that they had to carry, as opposed to saying, well, actually, these are the things that are the major audience drivers because of their local content, because of the fact that people see themselves reflected, et cetera, et cetera. And now they're saying, well, these are the things that generate real revenue. If they want them, they're going to need to pay, because SABC will be available for all people for free. It'll continue to be available for all people for free. And that's a critical point. But they are then saying that other people then who want to carry that and broadcast and carry the SABC's content, they're going to need to pay. And so, you know, you look at the slowness of change. You know, this is the first time we've had a policy review in something like over 20 years. And everything has changed so fundamentally since in that time that it's not surprising that the changes that we're talking about now are big. They are fairly radical. And they're things that I imagine a lot of people are going to say, well, no, we don't want to be paying for these things. But the reality is this, is that democracy to survive needs an independent, credible media, and part of that environment is a public broadcaster. It's just as important, if not arguably more important, than having any of your commercial broadcasters like your 702s, you know, and we've got to find ways of sustaining them.
Absolutely. Let's hear from Stello calling us from Brakpan. Hello, Stello.
Hello, Azania. Thank you for taking my call, and hello to your guest there. In 2011, I actually approached Eunice Karim's office and I presented a whole plan about how, changing the legislation a bit, that the multi-choice could be forced to collect this money on behalf of the SABC. If this thing were to succeed, and multi-choice, by the way, shouldn't really have a choice, as things are, other companies such as the banks in South Africa are assisting the government to do things such as vehicle licenses and all those things. They should not be given a choice. And I understand why they would initially respond and say, no, this idea is not feasible, is not probable, because clearly, multi-choice has an interest in a non-efficient SABC, because the more the SABC is dead, the more they rise. But I think if they could be forced just a small amount on a monthly basis, all of the SABC's financial problems shall have been gone. It will not affect multi-choice even in a little form. But also, the idea of a house levy for the SABC is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. And I say this because in 2011, having presented them this idea, they were going to come back to us. They never did. There already is a suggestion that they could follow. They think they are going to get a house levy. I do not see how that is going to work. The easiest thing is to change the Broadcasting Act and get multi-choice to just collect extra monthly money that belongs to the SABC, and the money be passed on.
All right. Stello, thank you for your contribution. There's a thought there. And then, William, let's look at the question of ownership, because it also, as South Africans, we're often obsessed with who owns the various media platforms. I mean, you look at pre-apartheid and how papers like The Citizen came about, and then in post-apartheid Democratic South Africa, issues perhaps around Diso Black Star, for instance. And now there is this proposal to raise the foreign ownership limit on local broadcasters from 20% to 49%.
Yeah, I mean, that's an idea, I think, to help drive investment in our media sector. And yes, you know, it does raise its own kind of question of how that would work. Something that is really positive about that is that they consider African ownership to not be foreign ownership. So it's a way of trying to build and encourage greater ownership and investment from within the continent.
Yeah.
And that's part of the, you know, the Africa Trade Agreement. And that, I think, is something that we should be welcoming and thinking how we can stimulate that. But the real problem with ownership, of course, lies in the fact that you've got to find products that are actually sustainable. We need a media sector that fulfills, you know, journalism fulfills a public good in our democracy. It goes beyond just being something that is there to provide news and information. It's a whole lot more these days in a digital environment. And unfortunately, the mechanisms that used to be so easily and reliable and that could make lots of people lots of money are just falling away, which means you've got to find other ways and means of making them sustainable. So part of that is it looking at how do you diversify that level of ownership? How do you also recognize that this idea of cross-media ownership is now a little bit crazy? You know, it used to be that you'd say, well, you can't own a radio, TV, and newspaper because those things would then give you too much dominance. And now, of course, those formats can all be done on pretty much one single website. You can have audio in podcasts, you can have a video, and you can have written content, and all on one site. So that kind of model has to change quite significantly. So a lot of that is just kind of catching up with global trends. But part of it, as I said, the real big questions for us to think about as all South Africans, which is why I love that you're talking about this now, is how do we sustain our media sector? How do we make sure that we've got companies that are paying journalists well, that can produce, you know, quality news and information that we can all trust and rely on, and that's going to help us understand our ever-increasingly complex country and our world?
Yeah, and I think let's look at a case study, Australia and Facebook, for instance, the case study that we can all learn from, which is probably telling us about what's yet to come, because now Facebook is facing mounting criticism because they blocked news content in Australia because of this dispute that they're having with the government about a planned law. The law will force tech giants to pay for the content, for news content on their platforms. And this is likely something that is going to Australia's leading something that maybe other countries are going to follow. We're small players ultimately, and these tech giants don't want to shoulder the regulatory responsibilities, and yet they benefit from content that is created by media houses. How should South Africa regard this sort of development?
So I think it's very interesting. I mean, there are a lot of critiques about what Australia is doing. One of the biggest and most valid, I think, is that in as much as it's good asking the platforms to make a contribution, what they've effectively done is that they've said make deals with big players in order to make sure that they cross-subsidize and they can continue to be functioning. And what that's done in reality is that it's helped, you know, them make a better deal with Rupert Murdoch. Now, you know, he's not the kind of person who really needs help, poor babies. You know, that's not the kind of entity and media environment you're wanting to sustain. We've got, you know, hundreds of small commercial media in South Africa and community radio stations. If we are serious about, you know, ensuring equitable voice and hearing voices from different places and societies in our country, we need to say, well, how do you sustain them? And that's why that kind of model just isn't appropriate here, because you're expecting, you know, a small community radio station to negotiate with a multi-billion-dollar platform. It's, you know, you're not going to get any kind of equitable basis that discussion is going to occur on. So you need to say, well, how do we do that? So one mechanism that's put forward, the white paper talks about, you know, licensing them and that they pay a license fee. I'm not sure that that's going to fly. And at the moment, there's not enough detail in the paper to explain that. But another mechanism might be to say that they must pay a tax that goes into some kind of a fund that can be used to sustain journalism. So there are different mechanisms looking at this. But what is common to them is that the platforms need to make a contribution to that. It's what is the challenge is how exactly you manage that, especially given that, as you point out, you know, we're a small player for those kinds of platforms. Mm-hmm. So they need to find ways that will do that. And so there is talk about a global mechanism that once that sort of broad agreement gets reached, then other mm-hmm. countries like ours will be able to tap into it. It might be, for example, that as a continent, we say, as you know, we go as a continent and negotiate with the platforms so that we can do these things. That, you know, a lot of these things are up in the air. We're not the only ones just thinking and trying to discuss them. So there are lots of exciting options.
Yes, absolutely, you know, absolutely.
Behind the curve in discussion.
Yes, and the concern, I think, with this Facebook thing is the unintended consequences, because with this dispute going on, the reliable content, people now finding it difficult to access reliable sources when they look for information, for instance, on platforms like Facebook. So we always have to bear that in mind. Thank you so much, William. There's just still so many other things we could have unpacked, because it's quite a big, broad approach to overhauling the media space, and lots of other issues will continue to play out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's the director at Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird. It